Off top. So, horizontal gene transfer. Stop smiling, Charlie. We're cutting all that stuff out, all the mistakes getting cut out. We think of all of genetic genes being passed down vertically from parent to child for all organisms from single cell all the way up to multicellular organisms. That is not always the case. Sometimes genetics can be passed between organisms in different species without any sexual reproduction. Play the music.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
I know you never heard of that before. That's new. I read a book called The Tangled Tree like 5 years ago, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. And it was incredibly mind blowing. The fact of the matter is, it makes it sound really like maybe we could have got duck bills from ducks, but it's actually mostly takes place between like bacteria, like small organisms, but some of the bigger ones that are still very small is like the tardigrade. You heard of the water bear, I imagine, like the tiny.
No.
Okay, so it's a tiny little insect like creature that can survive in incredibly harsh circumstances. I think like people believe they can like survive in space. And so the genes that allow them to survive, it's believed that all of those or a lot of those genes were horizontally inherited from other organisms like plants and fungi and stuff like that. There's a few insects like that, but most, I think like bioluminescence amongst some sea creatures is between organisms passing. So yeah, I'm obviously not a geneticist, but the book was really interesting and really fun. So Aaron Rodgers, if you're bored at some point, but Aaron Rodgers. So he went on with everybody's buddy, Pat McAfee, and told us what we already knew, that he was going to be a Jet, right? Like we kind of knew it, didn't we? It seemed like it was obvious, but I guess it's nice to have some certainty. It's something that we've been counting down to for a while, but it's anticlimactic a little bit to me because like, yeah, we knew it was going to happen. The only thing that right now is being sorted out is figuring out the details of the deal between the teams. I'm guessing how much the Packers are going to pay of Rodgers' salary, how many picks they're going to do back and forth or trade back and forth, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, AFC East, it's going to be popping. Aaron Rodgers joining the team. What do you think?
I mean, this was a perfect Aaron Rodgers day. He went on McAfee. He said he went into the darkness, 90% retired. And he's come out of the darkness as a Jet.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he was 90% retired when he entered the darkness. He came out wanting to play for the Jets. We had the tour de force, basically, of him telling Schefter to lose his number, which Schefter tweeted out the screenshot of, which was just chef's kiss perfect.
That's outstanding.
This is the first day I think I've switched sides to you, and I want to.
You're on my side.
I want to publicly say thank you to Aaron Rodgers because you look at him like he's a Sacha Baron Cohen character. He is like a character we would create for the like 2023 quarterback. It's perfect.
I've been on Aaron Rodgers' side, or not on his side, but been an Aaron Rodgers supporter for a long time. Ever since I yelled at him about COVID, ever since then, I've been pro Aaron Rodgers because the rest of the stuff, I think it's in part because he did the COVID lie stuff, because that was real and that was serious. And I think that put into like perspective how all the rest of the stuff that he does is just kind of silly. No one's getting hurt. It doesn't affect anybody. And honestly, as someone who slaves away in these content mines daily looking for something to talk about, Aaron Rodgers is a damn hero. Like just giving us something to talk about. And he said many times, like when people complain about him dragging his stuff out, that we don't have to talk about it. He's absolutely right. We don't have
to. But he loves that we do.
I'm sure he does. Yeah. If he didn't want us to talk about it, I think the fact of the matter is he is whatever he's gone through, whatever he's doing, whatever drugs he's taken and whatever retreats he's gone on, whatever exploration or meaning searching journeys that he's gone on, he seems like a more fully realized version of himself, you know? And like, I think we all think of like a complete human as like one thing, a person that acts a certain way, but actually maybe you can just beat your own game and you get to where you're supposed to be. And where he's supposed to be is this guy. Cause when we're so critical of the things that he was saying on the Pat McAfee show back in the day, so many weird things he was saying or unusual things he was saying, we're critical of it in large part and all the stuff outside of the COVID stuff. Cause that kind of felt unsafe and risky, but outside of that, we're critical of it because it was weird and it didn't make sense to us. And we're critical of it because some of the stuff I think was like normal. It's just, these are not conversations that we're used to people having in public. So he was contemplating retirement with his buddy. He just happened to record it and put it all out there for us to see. And I think lots of players after a season are contemplating retirement. And I think several players probably may imbibe or do any other version of taking any substances to help them elevate themselves to make these decisions. So I don't know. I've been team Aaron Rodgers and I'm rooting for him to have success in New York. And I'm even happier because he's getting guys paid that like Mercedes Lewis looking at what season is for him? 20?
I think it's his 18th season. He will be, if he plays, when he plays this year, he will have played more seasons than any tight end ever.
Exactly. He would not be getting checks if Aaron Rodgers wasn't out here helping him get checks. And I respect that. I guess that's a spot taken from somebody else. So as like a players union guy, I shouldn't care because it's not like he's created a new job, but just as a guy who like respects loyalty, it's like, hey, get your guys paid, man. Get him another check.
See, I that was all very nice, very empathetic with the way that you view Aaron Rodgers. I find him funnier because he's just an internet troll.
Yeah.
He's just looking up shit online and being like, how can I stir the pot? And I, while I wouldn't, you know, lie about the COVID vaccine or spew chemtrails conspiracies, other than that, you know what's better? You know what the best thing to do is troll all of the media people who take themselves way too seriously. That's the chef's kiss that I like.
It is great. You're right. So they're Super Bowl favorites now.
What are we thinking? Fifth best team in the AFC East?
I don't think so. I mean,
The AFC East, in the AFC.
Yeah. Well, definitely not in the AFC. I think that they certainly have become competitors, which they weren't before. It depends on what level of Aaron Rodgers we get and how replicable that defensive performance was from last year, because as you know, and stat nerds know, defense is not as consistent as offense. You can't depend on a defense being as good as it was the year before the following season. But they have a lot of young, talented pieces, and I'm so excited for Garrett Wilson. Like, I've been a big Garrett Wilson fan, not just because of his play, but you remember that that kind of message that his father, I think it was NFL.com or NFL Network or something, recorded his father giving him a message after he was drafted. And I think I like retweeted it not too long ago. But anyway, it was a beautiful message from father to son. And it was touching and it made me a fan immediately. And he's also an incredible football player. And I'd like to see him with a quarterback who can play. So many great receivers have had their careers cheapened by big and bad systems or with bad quarterbacks and bad places. So I'm glad for Garrett Wilson that he's going to get a chance to be that high level. So I'm looking forward to that. There are going to be a lot more games that we care about. So I don't know. And this, I think this ties back into like what we were talking about last week with how the corporatization of sports has kind of sucked the fun out of it in many ways. I'm not going to let that happen to me. And it's not
happening with this.
It's not happening with this because this is fun. This is fun.
And well, this is a win-win for us.
Yeah.
Like, I almost feel that the Jets, like they're the Knicks, like they have not been like a real team in my lifetime. I know they made the AFC title game, but like, come on, we knew what was up. Like, if there's a real New York football team that seems like a favorite, it could be legitimately exciting and fun. And New York fans are crazy, and the passion for the team is going to be awesome. And on the other side, if they suck, that's also going to be hilarious when he goes on Pat McAfee every single week and just waxes poetically and reads Ayn Rand quotes about why it's not actually him that sucks.
His teammates are so happy that he's coming, it seems, and that could turn quickly.
But, oh man, him and Zach Wilson together. It's beautiful.
To the I guess we'll get to Dame Lillard at some point, because he was talking about last week, he was talking about the rings culture and entitlement stuff. And I think some of that is tied into this conversation, and we'll get to the update on Ja Morant and all that stuff. But, and I guess after this, we'll probably talk Lamar Jackson. But the thing that made me think of Dame was the idea of fun and the rings culture. I was on Get Up yesterday morning, and Graziano said, if they don't win a Super Bowl, then they'll regret it. And I think this is tied into like my general rant about the corporatization of professional sports, or corporatization of American sports in general, is why the hell do we have to evaluate everything? You know, like, it, to me, it feels like, well, yes,
it's a results driven business.
It doesn't have to be for us. Well, I guess maybe it's because I'm not a fan of the team. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. This shit's about entertainment for me. Like,
yeah,
it's,
to an extent, but if you're a fan, you want your team to win.
Yeah, that's the difference between me and I guess everyone else is like, I don't have a team. I like watching sports because I like watching sports and I want to be entertained. And you don't have a football team either. Like,
oh no, Dan Snyder beat that out of me. Thanks. Yeah. Dan.
So like, that's why I'm confused that, and I guess I shouldn't be confused. It's because we have to fill up a lot of content and that's why we do this. But like it confuses me why people like get angry about, and this happens to me, and maybe it's just because we're on social media and you feel like you have to have, and you notice like I stopped tweeting like a year ago and I don't really do it much now at all. Maybe I'll get back in it, but like it feels like everyone feels like they need to have an opinion on everything, and they're like grading people's offseason moves and stuff, and like, oh, that was dumb, that was a failure, you better win the Super Bowl or it doesn't matter. Like, I'm guilty of it too on TV because I get paid to do it. However, I'm not in it for that. To me, like, the reason why I called it corporatization is like it feels like how a company has a good quarter and then they're like, how can we cut costs and raise prices so that we can have better profitability next quarter? Like, nah, what y'all made last quarter was just fine. Make that again. And to me, it's like I'm watching these games and it's like this was fun. Now, let's not micromanage it to the point where it no longer gets fun. So for me, that's what I'm looking for. This Jets experience is a good competitive team that's fun and interesting all year. More interesting competitive teams, the better. If they don't win a Super Bowl, it's not a failure for me. Maybe Saleh gets fired, but I'm gonna keep my job and be happy and enjoy it.
Oh, and to be clear, I do not think this Jets team is going to win a Super Bowl. I think, like, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is knocking on the door 40 years old, and this was the first year where he played mediocre football. I think there's an actual interesting discussion of the team that should have regretted this, is the Packers, who waited a year too late to trade him because they could have gotten the Russell Wilson deal a year ago or more.
Probably more, yeah.
But no, I mean, the thing about evaluating wins and losses is that's fun. That's entertainment for me. It's like, because there's context too. It's like rating these people. How do I view Aaron Rodgers amongst the slew of other great football players I've seen? And all of the context matters. Like, I'm not going to say that Trent Dilfer's one Super Bowl matters as much as Aaron Rodgers, but I'm also going to say, you look at Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers throwing the football is right there with those guys on what he's like been jaw dropping and awe inspiring, but he's got one Super Bowl and it hasn't been like these heroic playoff losses. Like, he's had some actual low moments where he's been vulnerable and we've seen him like fail. And it's sort of fun to contextualize all of that.
I mean, I get when we'll flesh this conversation out, because I don't completely disagree with you, but I think we just see it differently in some ways. When we get to the Dame conversation, we'll flesh that out anymore. I don't got anything else on the Packers. They're going to be fun to watch. Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur. Barnstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. I do want to talk about the Lamar pitch that my wife made to me this morning that I immediately stole. I was doing Get Up from Home, and so I immediately stole it during the commercial break and then went to air with it. And it's like obvious. We are in D.C., and the Washington Commanders don't have a quarterback. They were one of the teams that originally said they were out on the Lamar sweepstakes before it even started. But it's the perfect place for them. Like, they have young talent. They have guys on defense, talented skill position guys. They're in a majority black city that I'm sure would welcome, a majority black city that has a terrible history with their black fans. So, like, I don't know if people who are listening to this know this, but like the large majority of black people in Washington, D.C., known as the Chocolate City, do not like the Redskins. They are Cowboys fans. Not only do they not like, or well, what they were when they were the Redskins, they do not like the Commanders. They're Cowboys fans because when they were coming of age, the older ones, the Washington football team was the last team to integrate, and all these local fans were Cowboys fans because that was what was viewed as like the black team. And so if you are black and in D.C., you tell your kids who tell their kids that we don't root for that team. And so the one time when the local people warmed up to this local franchise was when RG3 was out there running around making havoc because it felt like it was part of their team. And obviously the Doug Williams Super Bowl. So that's why his race matters, and that's why it matters to this city. And the last thing, the real kicker for why it would be good is it could be Daniel Snyder's final FU to the rest of the owners, because Lamar wants a fully guaranteed deal, and Daniel Snyder has to sell his team. So give him the fully guaranteed deal. Also, my guess is your franchise value would jump if you add a franchise quarterback to it. So he would probably get a higher price. Maybe it's not a huge jump, but we see the difference it makes in basketball, how valuable franchises change, or how the value of franchise changes depending on the player you have there. I think didn't the Broncos signed Russell Wilson before they sold the franchise, right? And yeah, my guess is that factored in some stability at that position, factored into them selling that team. So who says no?
I mean, my guess is that Lamar would be sad about that, unless other than the guaranteed deal, because it's been as toxic of a place to play over the last 30 years as anywhere. And he's going from, whatever you think about how the Ravens have handled this, one of the smartest, most stable organizations, to a dumpster fire.
It would be a dumpster. Awesome. It's not on fire anymore.
Okay, you're right. It's just a smoking heap of trash that was formerly on fire. Yeah. It's also like DC and DC sports fans are starved for a quarterback. Like 2012 was the only fun year of football in my lifetime. Kirk Cousins is probably the best overall quarterback I've ever gotten to watch in DC and pseudo root for. And he's as boring as it gets. If you look around the city, the only jerseys of Commanders players that are there are Sean Taylor and Robert Griffin. That's it. No one else has penetrated or like made a cultural impact. Lamar would instantly be a huge star, and the city loves football. Like, it's not like, if the Wizards are good when the Caps won the Stanley Cup or the Nats won the World Series, it's nothing to a 9-7 compared to a 9-7 Commanders team. Great. That's all we need. And it would be spectacular. On the other side of that, I would be a little bit sad, because I can say with near 100% certainty that we would ruin him.
Yeah,
we'd ruin him, and it would suck.
Yeah, the hope is that they're turning a new leaf, and the new ownership and would make things work out a little bit better, but he wouldn't have to move that far. I mean,
he might not have to move at all, depending on where he lives. He also, like, he might not be ruinable. Lamar legit, like, might, as like a one man offense, might just play just as well on any of these decent teams.
That was my thought, because they haven't been terrible under Ron Rivera. No. They haven't been good, but I think the difference of adding Lamar to that team does at least get him in the playoffs, and an NFC that is quarterback starved, they could easily, with some good moves, be the best team, the perennial power in the NFC for years to come, with Lamar Jackson. So I don't know why they wouldn't consider doing it. We talked about this before, about the risk of it all. There's risk in every move. And yes, it would be risky to give a fully guaranteed contract to Lamar Jackson, but it'd be risky to draft a quarterback, and Sam Howell is risky. It's all risky. It's football.
Well, and it's also like, they're slightly too competent now to tank. Like, Caleb Williams is a huge deal in DC. He went to Gonzaga High School in Northeast DC and is the best quarterback prospect since Trevor Lawrence, and might by the end of this year be a bigger prospect than that is. That's like crazy to say, because we were comparing Trevor Lawrence to Andrew Luck and John Elway, but he's more modern, he's more exciting, he's more explosive. He can do all of the things that we want to see. And it's like, okay, if you're the Washington football franchise, Commanders, and you're like, all right, we're gonna tank this shit out. I know it's unethical, Dominique, but you're like, we're gonna tank this thing out. We're gonna bring back local superhero quarterback. No, they're not gonna do that, because they're gonna go 7-10. They have too many decent players to be like that bad and get into that tankathon. But you can't have no plan. The plan can't just be like, all right, let's see if Sam Howell's decent, because they have real pieces around them. The defense is solid. The receivers are really good. Like, McLaurin and Dotson with a real quarterback would be excellent.
Yeah. I mean, I assume that everyone knows, but Caleb Williams, the quarterback at USC right now, he was a Heisman candidate last year and probably the front runner, I would guess, going in to this season. And the only reason why he's not the number one pick overall is because the NFL and the CBA and the NFLPA have a 3 years removed from high school rule. So you have to be 3 years removed from high school before you can enter the NFL draft. So otherwise, he would have been the number one overall pick, and no one would be talking about anything. The Bears would have got a lot more for that first round pick, or they might have drafted him.
The Bears might have traded Justin Fields.
Yeah, honestly, I think the Bears would have traded. They would have got a couple picks for Justin Fields and sent him packing and drafted Caleb Williams. So, yeah, that's the answer to that. All right. It's not going to happen, because it would be too much fun. And
it
I
would
guess
make too much sense.
Yeah, I guess the Ravens could always match it, which would be probably Lamar's hope, so he could stay close by. Either way, the only football games my son has ever been to, pro football games, is Ravens games, because he loves Lamar Jackson. So we've been to probably like four or five of them. So
you don't want to drive out to FedEx Field and sit in the parking lot for 3 hours
to watch
constipated slop on the
about
football
to say
field?
that he would get closer to us, so that'd be better, but it's actually not really easier. It's just as far and a worse experience, and the stands might collapse under us, so we don't want that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so basketball. I think we should start with the updates on Ja Morant, because that feels a little bit more urgent than the Dame stuff, even though I have a lot of interest on the Dame stuff. So what's happening with Ja Morant right now?
Okay, so sifting through the Woj bombs, it has been being reported that Ja Morant, he went to counseling after he left the team to take time for himself. It was in his own statement, he needed to figure out how to deal with stress better. The implication there being he had to protect his mental health and get better. He went to counseling. It was reported today that he has left counseling and is beginning, after meeting with Adam Silver, to ramp up to return to play. It was then reported by Woj that Morant has been suspended for 8 games for detrimental conduct and will be suspended without pay. There are a lot of tentacles to this, from Ja Morant's well-being, the way this story's been reported, the way Adam Silver handled it, the fact that if Morant didn't play the rest of the season and was left off an all-NBA team, he would lose $39 million in value from his max contract, which kicks in next year. So there's a lot there. And there's a lot about how we're going to perceive this story with how it's been reported.
Yeah, so the money matters, especially when those pictures leak from, well, I guess they didn't leak, they were released from the strip club where there's money all over the place. Seems like you don't want to give away any more money than you already given away if you're Ja Morant.
Elite interior decorating by Ja Morant and Shotgun Willies.
Just covered the whole floor. I have no idea what the carpet looks like in there. And it's not because I was distracted by something else, because you couldn't see it. But so I don't know. This is one of those things that is hard to talk about because the you want to like say the right thing.
Yeah.
And if it's about, I think I would be less hesitant around this topic if it wasn't for the gun dangling in the strip club on live. Because everything else to me seemed like a young guy doing dumb stuff. That was so nonsensical to me that made me entertain the idea that there was something deeper going on. And then they addressed it by going to counseling, which is like, I don't know, I guess like we all need some counseling.
Yeah.
I don't know what that says. There's nothing wrong with it. And then he comes out almost as soon as he goes in. It's like, if there was a problem, who's to say that it could be solved this quickly, which is feels unfair because there's probably other things. It's not just, you don't just walk in counseling and walk out. I'm sure you have other things that you do. You continue those things. So trying to dig into that feels like something we can't do. Understanding right. The implications of the contract is the only thing that's like firm for me. And yeah, I'd come back too. There's no reason, if there is some real major problem that requires counseling, I guess you could argue that you can't address that while you're also involved in an intensely stressful situation like trying to make a championship run. But you're not really, or not really, you're never going to get that money back. And right. I know he doesn't need it, but it's his, and he was on pace to get it. And I would try to come back and get it also. I guess you could argue that if he cared that much about it, he wouldn't have done the things that he did prior to this. But you could also argue that that's why he's going to counseling, because it wasn't completely in his control. So, like, I don't know. I want to be empathetic, but I also know the old black man in me is just like, come on, brother, get this shit together.
Well, it's really hard not to, like, give a little eye roll and cynical look at it, right. Even though we don't know enough. Like, he could have done everything the right way. And this could have been, he went to counseling right after he left the team, he was released, et cetera. But it's hard not to look at this with the cynical view that it was beneficial for his PR and the rumors around him for him to do this. And then when the consequences of losing all that money were put on the table, the PR became less important. And we certainly aren't saying that it's fact, but it's hard to look at the breadcrumbs that have been handed to us.
Right.
When just yesterday, the reports were basically, we were thinking he might not play again this season because he was going to deal with personal stuff. And then as this snowballed, suddenly he's back. It's hard not to put those together and at least be curious. It feels fucked up to say it, but it's like, it's hard not to put those together.
Yeah. I think, yeah, we're being honest about that. But I think the thing that we can talk about without feeling like we need to tiptoe is the Adam Silver suspension decision. And throughout a bunch of this Adam Silver stuff, I've always been, it felt like, on the opposite side of the general public with Adam Silver. When you all loved him, I was like, cool it, guys. He's still the commissioner of the NBA. Like, his goal is not to make you happy or the players happy. It's to make money for the owner. So, like, He's not Gandhi. He's just a businessman. He's a lawyer who works for the owners. And then it felt like it's starting to swing and people are critical of him for decisions that he made. And it feels like they're a little too harsh. But this one feels like there's the criticism is earned, because it's like, I don't know, it feels like this should have been understood and agreed upon, whatever the terms were. If you wanted him to be away from the game for a period of time, then you should have established that he's going to be away from the game for the period of time, instead of outsourcing this responsibility to the team, because the team's incentives are compromised. If you think that he's, if you didn't suspend him initially, then it feels, I guess the investigation isn't done. What feels most uncomfortable to me is the timing of it. It's like, all right, he left treatment. And
that's exactly right. Yeah.
And oh, now we're done with the investigation. Now we're going to suspend you. And that's the part that feels uncomfortable, is it feels like disingenuous and manipulative. And if you wanted to suspend him, then you suspend him, which I guess they're doing. They're just doing it late. And it feels like they're just trying to save face, and they don't want John Morant back on the court, so they're doing this.
It also just feels like completely irrelevant, because he's getting time paid for the games that he's missed. So he's going to be back playing on Monday against Dallas, right, as they're like ramping up for the two seed. And it's like, I think Adam Silver probably just didn't want to look totally weak and like a mealy mouth commissioner, like he's been accused of, and not dole out any punishment for something that people thought was very inappropriate. But like, at this point, who cares if he's back Wednesday or Thursday night or Monday night? It doesn't, it's like completely asinine and doesn't make a difference.
And so, yeah, I think I'm finally aligned. I'm at the same place with the general public about Adam Silver. This is a misstep. So you guys are finally right. Everyone else in the world, you're finally correct. All right. So
we did it.
You did it. Congratulations, guys.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So the Dame stuff. Dame was on JJ Redick's podcast. Mm-hmm. Was it The Old Man and the Three, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dame talked about two things that got my attention, like the current culture inside the league and the culture of entitlement that players come in with, star players come in with, and they automatically have the team given over to them and the teams cater to them in a way. And the other one is like the culture surrounding the game and the rings culture, the measurement of everybody's career on whether they've won a championship or not. And to me, this like goes back to one of my favorite things, is I just don't believe in absolutes. And it feels like good comes with bad. And yes, this game has changed and the culture around the game has changed, but he also said that the talent and the skill in the game is higher than it's ever been. And the players that are coming into the NBA are as talented as they've ever been. And I think that they also recognize how valuable they are, what they do with the power that they have because of the value. Maybe you could quibble with, but to me, that's connected to the entitlement. So if he is longing for a world where you could tell the rookie, no matter if he's a first round pick or not, to go back in and work some more, or to go pick up donuts, or sit on the back of the plane, or whatever it is that you want to tell the rookie, you can't, because that rookie, he said, they act like they're LeBron James as soon as they walk in. They kind of are to their franchise in some cases. The young players, like, yeah, they are. They're kind of the person that we're building around. And there was a time when that wasn't apparent to them. Their value wasn't clear to them, but their value is clear to them now. So if they're not open to it, and again, this goes to like professionalization all the way back, it's like they've been groomed for this since they were little. So it's weird to like all of a sudden, if they got spotted when they were 8, 9, 10 years old and plucked out of their rec league and put on an AAU team, and then that AAU team is formulated around how awesome they are. And then from there, they go to college or G League or Europe or wherever they're going to go. And it's again, so how awesome they are. Then teams are freaking tanking to get in position to draft them. And then they draft them and treat them like the team is going to be built around them. Then this is like, to me, it feels like kind of comes with the territory. And you're not going to get these super high skilled, well prepared players into the league who are also like mentally like Dame, because Dame wasn't that guy. That's not how he didn't come into the league that way.
He was a high lottery pick. So he was, yeah. He was, you know, well-regarded by the time he got drafted. But yeah, I mean, Dame went into a lot there. He went into, as JJ Redick put it, how the league is and how then also how the league is talked about basically. Mm-hmm. The stuff about how the league is seems like exactly the way I feel about Gen Z kids as a millennial who's aging out of it, which mm-hmm. is just like, this isn't what I'm used to.
Right.
I'm sick of it. Back in my day, it was more fun. I mean, to an extent, the on the court stuff is right. It's stuff we've talked yeah. about where it was more entertaining when there was more variety and more yeah. Different stuff, but it's also like, it's never going to change. The stuff about the ring culture and the way the NBA is talked about, I found more interesting because I don't know why he would be upset about that. Cause Dame Lillard to me is the one guy who's gotten a pass. Like he could retire tomorrow and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He made NBA 75. He is one of the greatest shooters ever. And no one will care that he doesn't have a ring. Cause he was the one guy who didn't championship chase.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't seem like he wants it to change. In his defense, I think that we're assuming things that he didn't say.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
To the first point about the entitlement, like he didn't really, I mean, he said he didn't like it, but he wasn't saying that he wanted it to change. And I think this is a thing that happens to all generations. I guess Gen X probably said that about us, or boomers said it about us the same way that we think about Gen Z. So it's just a thing that always happens. And then they become old enough to realize that the way that they did it was just right. And the way that this new group is doing it is just wrong. So like, that's inevitable. The rings culture thing feels different. And Dame wasn't arguing. I guess he was not arguing that he should be remembered differently. The funny thing about Dame, what he was pointing out was he just felt it's a lot like Aaron Rodgers, except his version of being a more realized version of himself is something that we like. Where yeah. it feels like Dame is comfortable with who he is, or at least he presents as that. And it didn't seem like he was saying, I wish that I would be remembered this way. He was kind of saying the opposite, that I'm not going to be remembered. So who gives a shit? I mean, that's kind of what he said. He was like, no one's talking about you, JJ, right now. No one's talking about, he said, no one's talking about Jordan, which that was probably a little bit hyperbolic.
Doesn't watch enough ESPN.
Yeah, yeah. But his point is, yeah. We get a few years out, we talk about what's happening now. And Dame is not going to be a guy that we talk about after his Hall of Fame induction, unless he is in the media. Dame's going to be the guy that 25 years from now, we're going to be like, hey, you know this guy you should look up on, I don't know, 3D holograph tube by then? Dame Lillard. But he's not going to be a guy. And I mean, it feels like when someone tells you like the history of the earth is like 4.5 billion years and humans have only been on earth for like 400 years and you're only going to be here for like 90 years if you're lucky, like your life is so insignificant. So like, I guess people tell you that to like, so you don't stress so much about little things. That's what it feels like Dame was saying. Like he just came out there and was like, you know what? I'm going to have fun. I'm going to play for my guys. I'm going to get paid. But it doesn't matter because in the grand scheme of things, y'all not going to remember me. Y'all not going to talk about me. But the last thing I'll say is the good comes with the bad. And I think I got a couple themes that I come back to on everything is you getting, and I don't want to be this guy because he's not complaining about it, but the culture that we create around this stuff, I think, is a part of the reason for the popularity, which is directly tied to the reason why it's possible to have the career itself. So you can complain about it which he has been, but kind of like me complaining about like the house that I chose to live in. Like I chose to live in here, but it's still annoying when it breaks.
Yeah. I also like, I think he's being a little bit nihilistic. Of course, eventually people won't be talking about Damian Lillard, but like he's been totally lionized amongst this generation of players as the most loyal, the toughest, doing it his own way. And I do think that when we talk about and contextualize great basketball players and great point guards, like he's going to be talked about for a while as one of them and be compared to, like, because there's not going to be, everyone's just going to be like, oh, he's the next Steph Curry. They're going to be a lot of like, anyone who comes out of a small school is going to be compared to Damian Lillard.
You're wrong. Like, I wish you were right, but you're wrong. Like, he played in Portland. He hasn't been in the finals. He's not going to be that guy. He's right. We're going to love him. And guys like us are going to try to get young people to talk about him. But 10 years after his Hall of Fame induction, we're not going to be making comps to Dame Lillard. We're not going to be talking about him a lot. Like, it's just not. I think we talk about how Charles Barkley never won a title because Charles Barkley is constantly in our face. Like, you know who I saw randomly on social media yesterday? I saw Mark Price giving somebody the business. Somebody put together a compilation of Mark Price. When the last time you heard that name? He was a nasty guard for the Cavs. He was really good. But when the last time you heard that name, Mark Price?
I got a 67-year-old white father at least once a quarter.
That's fair. But like, and when Sean Kemp was back in the news last week, was the last time you heard us talk about Sean Kemp? Like, I feel like there's lots of players like that. And I think Dame is right. There are like two or three players that like achieve some level of immortality. And then they keep dropping off. Like, the only players we talk about from like Bill Russell is Bill Russell, like Bob Cousy. Like, eventually these players drop off. And I think Dame Lillard is going to be in one of the first tiers of like Hall of Famers who we only talk about when they get inducted and when they do a list of best players. And occasionally he's not going to be a constant conversation.
There's something interesting here too, because I actually think that YouTube's going to change some of this, the way the players are remembered, like the dudes with the sickest YouTube highlights. Like, I think someone like Vince Carter, the way you remember him has been inflated because like, you fire up YouTube and you're like, that's the sickest shit I've ever seen in my life. Dame doesn't have that, but he also, he's a sick YouTube basketball player that we'll look at in times to come.
You're right. However, not in time to come. Because one thing about Vince Carter is nobody else was doing it. That's why his lives on in infamy. The thing about, well, I guess not infamy, but lives on eternally. The thing about Dame is somebody else is doing it a little bit better. All the stuff that Dame is doing, Steph is doing it a little bit better. And so when you want somebody to look up a nasty, shorter guard who can shoot from anywhere inside the gym and hit game winners, it's going to be the guy who won 4 titles. Sorry.
This is leading me to the sad realization that Mac McClung is going to be more famous in 20 years than Dame Lillard.
We won't let that happen. We cannot let that happen. We'll launch a podcast just called Remember Dame if that happens. But yeah, again, I'm right about all of this. Only time will tell how right I really am.
I think we also just came to the conclusion that I'm slightly more naive and less nihilistic than you about all things sports.
Is that a realization?
I guess it's...
Yeah, we've been new that.
Yeah.
That was...
Another example.
Shout out to one of my teammates in Denver whose name I do remember, but I don't want to say because I think he went to jail for some stuff. But anyway, he came to this. I'll end with this fun story and then we can go. He's a linebacker when I played in Denver who was from Texas, and he was like a special teams guy, and he had a real thick accent, like thicker than anything I'd ever heard. It was also like, I don't think it was just accent, but like he just mispronounced words a lot combined with the accent. So we're getting ready to leave on our trip. And he said, "Na-ta-ta-fu." And I was like, "What? Na-ta-ta-fu? What?" So back then we had to wear a suit and tie on all our trips. And so he pointed to his neck and said, "Na-ta-ta-fu." And I was like, oh, do you know how to tie a tie, fool? So, yep, I tied that up for him and we went on the flight. The other one was, I forgot what he was talking about, but he was like, man, you should have nuked that. So I've used nuked ever since 2005 or six, whenever someone says something. So I've been nuked that. Anyway, thanks, Charlie. Thanks, Adi Khan. Thanks, Christina Buswell. Thanks, Sarah Abbott. Thank you for listening. We never tell people to rate and review and stuff and share. Do people do that? Because I hear it on all podcasts and I never do it. But y'all should, for me, please. Right? Bye.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.